So while I woke up this morning feeling as normal as I ever feel, as close to normal as I ever feel, I still have times when my voice just decides it's not going to make a syllable. So I apologize. I hope you can fit the sounds together to hear something. At first glance, the combination of readings assigned for today don't necessarily lend to an easy comparison or join in a common theme, but I suggest that at least one connection or one thread that is carried through the three portions of Scripture is how to live in God's world in relationship with our Creator. So let's begin with the reading from Exodus, with God giving the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. Here, God, the Creator of all that is, reveals to the Israelites how to live in the world in peace and love and hope. Before this time, they had to try and figure out how to live or survive with each other. We think of Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, even Lot and his family. And while the Lord provided guidance, without someone there at every turn, or in the case of Lot's wife, before every turn, they were lost. I imagine that in some way, life was like trying to play a board game with playing pieces and dice, but with no instructions. Or the French ones, diligently translated by some worker in China who had no grasp of either French or English. Perhaps it was like what our streets or highways would be like if there were absolutely no traffic laws. Now, while there are some traffic laws I personally would like to change, the speed limit in some places, for instance, I am certainly thankful for all of them. They allow me to careen toward another vehicle with a relatively sure understanding that the oncoming vehicle will remain in his or her lane. Imagine if we had no concept of the dividing line. The ten instructions that God gave on Mount Sinai provided for the Israelites, and through them, the rest of the world, the instructions for life. We often see them as laws, right? They're called the law or commandments. And those feel harsh. Those two words feel rather harsh. But it's more like the law of gravity. It's something that is, and they are an instruction. The traffic laws, if you will, for peaceful coexistence in the world. In the reading from Paul's first letter to the folks at Corinth, we hear about the wisdom and the power of God. Paul tells us that for the unbeliever, the wisdom of God seems like foolishness. Loving those who hate you? Devoting your life to telling others about some guy who seemed to be able to heal and to teach with great wisdom, who then pretty much hands himself over to be executed, suggesting that in doing that, he will save humanity? Sounds like some pretty serious delusion there. You don't know the rest of the story. What Paul tells them and reminds us is that in all the power we can muster and all the wisdom we can collect, God, in God's weakest and least wise moment, is infinitely more powerful and more wise than any human could ever hope to be. In going to the cross and hanging there to death, God conquered what we see as the ultimate enemy, death itself. Paul reminds us that God did this so that we have the opportunity to live with God in God's creation forever, forever, if we believe in that salvation. Now, our gospel reading from John is often a difficult one to understand. I saw a Facebook post once that said, sometimes the answer to what would Jesus do is have a fit and turn over tables, right? Those are very special circumstances. To begin, we see Jesus behaving in a way that is counter to the character that we're accustomed to seeing. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, he was not that day. We see his anger. Is Jesus supposed to get angry? Well, he was human, wasn't he? What we see in this piece is Jesus' pain-filled response to the temple, to his father's house, being not only disrespected and abused, but being used by others to abuse. The temple, the holy place, the house of prayer, had been reduced to a common marketplace, with one exception. In this marketplace, the shoppers had no choice but to buy what was on offer, if they were going to live rightly within the laws, within the instructions that God gave on Mount Sinai. And those who were exchanging money and selling doves and other animals for temple sacrifices, they weren't doing so for the aid and convenience of the worshippers, but rather for their own profit and gain. They were using God's own instructions to browbeat poor folk into buying their inflated product and therefore going against those Ten Commandments themselves. Putting other gods before God, or the first one I hear, bearing false witness against your neighbor, and outright stealing all come to mind. So how then do we fit these together? If we follow the theme of living with God in full relationship with the Creator, the first lesson is pretty easy to tie in. As I said, it is the instructions to life. The Corinthians reading reveals to us, because of our inability to play the game well, I don't know if you've noticed in yourselves, but I don't play the game well all the time, the game of life, that is. We sometimes land ourselves in jail. We sin, right? We go against the will of God. Or we've fallen out of that pure relationship with our Creator. And because of the great love the Creator has for us, he's given us a get-out-of-jail-free card. Right? A get-out-of-jail-free card that's available to us so that we can again live in full relationship with him. And once we have that card, once we've invited Jesus into our hearts, it's ours forever. And you know what? We can even share it with others. Not only can we share it, we are expected to share it. We're expected to tell others about this gift that we've been given, that is ours to keep and can be theirs to keep as well. By the way, to some folks, this card is going to look silly. To some, we may look downright stupid. How can you believe in that malarkey? But their inability to accept it, in that, they choose to stay locked outside of the pure relationship with their Creator that is theirs to have. Finally, the gospel reminds us that there are those game players who will offer us at high cost, perhaps even the cost of our very lives, counterfeit get-out-of-jail-free cards. There is but one. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified, resurrected, and glorified, is the only way that we can win the game. And all of the other instructions are for us to refer to as we respond in thanksgiving to our loving Creator. Thanks be to God. Amen.